Well, we're going to do this in tandem, both myself and Mrs. Deloney. So she's going to present on the historical impact of history on African-American fatherhood, and I'll address the cultural issue.
I should bring you up on the historical perspective of fathers and sons. We want to go back to the origin of the first family, which was in Africa, which sets the stage for our families now. Actually, most of the families all had fathers in the home, had two-parent homes. Now, I know you think about the fact that some of them had two and three wives, but each wife had her own home. That's one thing we got away from. Maybe one of the things that we didn't bring in here, but we need to understand that we came from a group of people who were intact families when our ancestors were taken from our homeland. During the Middle Passage and enslavements, the families were destroyed. The families were destroyed even before they left Africa, because whomever they could take at that time, they took, and they left others behind thinking they were coming back. So the family started being broken down at the very beginning. And that's why we started looking at the fathers and sons. In during time of slavery, you could not even get married. There was a law that you could not get married. So the Africans decided how they would get married themselves. They would marry them in their own ceremonies, but legally they could not get married. After enslavement and Africans were freed, the European Americans were allowed to go west and buy properties and build homes. The Africans and African Americans had no way to do anything. They couldn't read. They were not allowed to read. They were trying to find their families, trying to put them back together. And so many men just took whatever children that needed a father and became fathers to them. There were institutional barriers to marriage, families trying to find them, other families, and then all you know about the Dred Scott case. So that's the beginning of start breaking up the families. Also at that time when they were going to start families in the West, the Africans and African Americans had been promised 40 acres and a mule. There were very few people who got that. There's one man who was in Texas, he just died about 5 or 6 years, whose family was one of the families, the only family I ever met and interviewed, and he has his book on how that happened. And then they came with policies that were supposedly going to help families to be together. But what they did was, if the families had husbands in the home, or fathers in this case, they couldn't get money. And in undergraduate school, I wanted to major in social work until our assignment, I learned that we had to go into homes and look into people's closets to see if men's clothes were there. So that's further destroying the family. And that was what, and then they entered, this was under the American Family Aids, and the TANFs. Then they caused us then to have the invisible father. The policy issues influenced fear. Having a male in the home would jeopardize their welfare status. Men with criminal records may jeopardize public housing. And then you set up a commitment to multiple kin networks. Some fathers are obligated to multiple sets of children and unstable living arrangements for some fathers. Multiple sets of children include fathers who have residents and non-residential children. Unstable living arrangements due to a precarious employment situation leave some fathers more dependent on families for survival. And then the government thought they would help out. And then they came up with the war on poverty, which actually exacerbated what happened first. What happened was, in the African American community, it was a closed community. If a young child got pregnant, the older people took the child, or they went to stay with the aunt or the uncle, but they stayed under the same roof. Then the war on poverty came, that when you had a baby or a child, you could get money to go get your own apartment to take care of your own family, which created another imbalance, because so many young people start having babies because they could get money, a little bit more money for each one of the babies. So they thought that they were helping us, but there are a lot of different things that happened. It created a culture, a refocused blame and misplaced suggestions towards African Americans, despite the fact they made up only a small percentage of recipients of services. Most people think that It's so many African Americans who are receiving the welfare, but it's far more European Americans on welfare than African Americans. The war on poverty resulted in societal shifts that reshaped the significance of African Americans' fathers and families. And that led up to the fact that we wanted to work on non-residential fathers.
A staggering statistic that also goes along with A staggering statistic that goes along with that fact is that in 1963, right before the war on poverty, 77% of black children were said to be born in families with married families. And today we see that over 70% are actually born to single mothers. The war on poverty compensated mothers who lacked income due to a loss of a spouse, which reinforced the rewards for not having a father in the home. So the Monaghan Report, which is a report that was issued, infamous Monaghan Report, was issued by the U.S. Department of Labor, and it basically focused on the African-American family structure. Some of the key proponents of this actual report, and a quote from it talked about the disintegration of a family was the single greatest problem confronting African-Americans. However, the report did not address the historical roots of a matriarchal family system in African Americans, which was a result of slavery, economic oppression, and policies that were issued by the federal government. Oh, I'm going backwards. Okay. So, in response to the Monaghan Report, Dr. Andrew Billingsley wrote a seminal book, Black Families in White America, which was first published in 1965. He documented the course of black family life, noting its strengths and values. These included extended family systems as an adaptation strategy for survival when faced with limited resources. It highlighted flexible family boundaries so that informal adoption of children could take place within the African-American community. Talked about the augmented family system so that people were considered family members even though they were not related by blood. And cultural values that noted the importance of religion in the lives of African-Americans. A number of other African-American scholars had written books about the context of family life among African-Americans that were more representative of the diverse family existence within the African-American community. Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois was writing about the middle-class African-American family, including fathers, at the turn of the 20th century. But because black scholarship was often not a part of mainstream literature, such facts were often ignored and not made accessible. Today, we see current views of African-American fathers as being uninvolved, distant, irresponsible, and that they're unavailable. These stereotypes are often perpetuated by the media, the judicial system, public policies, and even our research. Within cultural research, we find that there are functional characteristics of African-American fathers and their role in the family. We see, again, that there are flexible family roles and father involvement, respect for elders, and traditions and rituals. African-American families have traditionally enjoyed flexible family roles in which fathers are actively involved in the care of children, while women join the workforce when fathers are not able to find jobs. This practice of crossing gender boundaries dates back to slavery, when African-American families had no control over their familial situations. Barriers to unemployment resulted in the inability of some fathers to assume financial responsibility for their families. Therefore, the provider role was not always possible for African-American fathers. Current research indicates that African-American fathers value the provider role for their families, but many fathers, they found their family contributions also include the nurturing care of their children. Multiple generations living in close proximity was not uncommon for the African-American community, and it increased the social support that families were able to provide to one another. and buffered them from a lot of the negative consequences of life's external life situations that existed during the times. And often forgotten in the discussion surrounding fathers' roles within the family are the surrogate and social fathers, which assume the role of fathers in the lives of children when in the absence of their biological fathers. In existing research, we find that the custody of children is more common among African American fathers than other racial or ethnic groups, and that non-resident African American fathers can contribute to the health and well-being of their children, which brings us to focus on the results of our Fathers and Sons project. In the Fathers and Sons Project, we found that results from the Fathers and Sons Project indicate that fathers' monitoring of sons can be increased through programs that increase communication between fathers and sons, that intentions to communicate in the future can be increased, and that race-related socialization can be learned. And more positive fathers' parenting satisfaction can be achieved through these programs that help fathers learn how to better be responsible for their children. So the next steps for Fathers and Sons Project include replicating the program in different areas of the country, identifying policy supportive of fathering, and considering the role of fathering for men's health. We would like to move this project into evidence-based intervention that can be tailored to communities nationwide. And also, currently we're in the process of moving Fathers and Sons program to Ypsilanti, Michigan, and into the Chicago area. We are working to identify policies that support fathering and allow the responsible fatherhood initiatives that exist, and also advocating for fathers in the conversation about family research. Thank you.